You might want to turn in your Bible to the book of Joshua and chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Okay. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. Father and God, we look. We've opened your word. Here we are. So help us that we might go where you would have us to go and get an understanding that would help us. And God, you'd be pleased to do it, that we might have the advantage as we go forward. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. And in our exercise together, we have looked at reminding ourselves of Israel's wonderful, wonderful conquest in Joshua chapter 10 and 11, etc. And in doing so, we went back in all of that to chapter 1 again, the entrance before they crossed the Jordan. And God gives them that information and that understanding that would help them as they go forward. They're going to go in a way they didn't have it. They didn't live that way in the land of Egypt. They didn't live that way in the 40 years in the wilderness. But it's a whole new way of going forward. God's intended way. And he's raised up Israel by way of Moses, etc., to be able to go across the Jordan and possess the land. Now, so in doing so, before they go across, God gives them a very encouraging exercise. And he helps them understand so that as they go forward, they are going to be very, very confident. That's the whole point. To go forward with God, you've got to have confidence. And God wants us to understand. That's why God tells you to walk by faith. Because you aren't going to go any other way to go forward. Now, so therefore, just reminding ourselves, in Joshua chapter 1, remember they are given what? They're told in verse 2, 3, and 4, using verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So every single step in that whole territory from the Mediterranean Sea all the way over to the Euphrates River, that's one large piece of property. That's all theirs, all theirs. And all they have to do is walk in it. Every place that they walk, they would own. It was theirs. Therefore, and not only were they encouraged that way to possess the land and go forward, but they were told, remember, in verse 4, 5 and that, to be able to go, and God was going to be with God. You're not going to go alone. God is going to be there. And so therefore, verse 6, you had to be strong and of good courage. And we shared together verse 7, 8, and 9 and did all those things to remind ourselves. And they were to be strong and of good courage, and they would not to they would look to the word of God and not go to the left and not go to the right. Stay straight on course. Don't get distracted. Don't deviate. Stay right on course. And when you do so, verse 7, you're going to prosper. And we share together the prospering has to do with acting wisely, to act wisely in such a way that you're successful, to prosper as you go forward. And that's what they were told to do. And that's the same verb as we said, as we did that, verse 8, the end of verse 8. And thou shalt have good success. That goes back up to prosper in verse 7. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, day, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And we share together, you've got to digest the word. That's like we said, and you got to chew the word. You got to digest. We likened it and used Hebrews chapter 4, 1 and 2, and 9 and 10, verse 9 and 10. God said, the problem, Israel, why they didn't succeed in a continued way, because they had the word of God, but they didn't mix the word of God with faith. And like we shared, the cow eating his grass, he picks it all down and has to, and under the tree, and just keeps bringing it up and to chew it. You have to digest your food in order and to assimilate the nutrients, etc. And you got to digest it. You just can't shove it down and out, in and out. No, it has to go through the process. That's what it has to go through. So that it, what? That you digest the stuff, the food. That's what you have to do. Digest it. Otherwise, it's no good. What good's the best food in the world if you don't digest it? If you don't turn it, that lovely-looking food dish has to be eaten. And it doesn't look any good, doesn't look good anymore. Why? Because you're digesting it and assimilating it into your system. Therefore, Israel did not digest, did not do it. Don't turn to the left, don't go to the left, don't go to the right, and let my word get it into your head and heart, and you have to chew it. You have to get it, let it sink in. You don't just read, I read the verse. Well, that's good. You want to digest the verse. Digest the truth. Give it a shot. Let it get, think about it in the context, in what God, and looking to God, and let it get working into your head and heart. Now, having done that in verse 8, like we shared together, and you're encouraged, verse 8, you're going to go forward, to move forward, make thy way prosperous. That means to go forward, move forward in the light of what you're doing in order to what? To have good success. You can't just sit still and go backwards, and you have to go out, the outworking of God's will in God's way, in God's time. You have to outwork it. That's what you have to do. It isn't sit still. Nothing sits still, actually. Everything's moving in the air and in your body. The bacteria running all around, you know, everywhere. Eating, and being eaten. That's why you stay healthy. If the good guys eat, the bad guys fast enough, you stay healthy. If the bad guys eat the good guys, you get sick. So you're at war. It's everything's busy. Now, having said that, therefore, in verse 9, the end of verse 9, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So wherever you're going to go, God is there. That's what you need to know. So Joshua, and here's the people, and they're going to cross the Jordan, and they're given great incentive. They're going to be, no matter, they already remember 40 years earlier, 38 years earlier, they remember what? The giants and the walled cities, the walls that looked like they were up to heaven, the giants, many giants, chariots of iron, boy, we'll never do this. Well, they're going to go in the same place now, only differently. And in the process, God is going to be with them. that should be sufficient. And therefore be strong and of good courage as you go forward. Now, so they're to be convinced, and they're to look to God with thanksgiving. Now, having said that, and we've read that, why did we read it? Why did we think about it? God has given us his word to understand how he works, how he does things, and so we want to learn from it. Romans chapter 15 and that. You're going to learn from Scripture. The Scripture, God gives his word so that we can understand how he works, when he works, and what you can expect from God. So now, having said that little bit, Israel was to go forward. Now, God, we did all that little bit, and now God, look, here we are. We aren't back there. We're here. Therefore, over to the Gospel of John, and in chapter 16. Gospel of John, and chapter 16. And you will note, in the process, what did God do? God is preparing his disciples. He's preparing them. He prepared Israel to cross the Jordan. All they had to do is take the incentives that God had said to them and go with it. So here's the upper room. 3 1/3 years have been finished, and they're going to go forward. It's time for Christ. His hour has come to die on the cross. Now, that's a very difficult time for them, as we shared, and they're very sad and all of that. But God, before he dies, before he goes to the cross, he helps them. He takes them aside in the upper room, and he spends the evening with them, getting them ready. So, as you read chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, as you read them, God is going to tell them wonderful, wonderful things. Look over, if you can, chapter 14. Of all kinds of ways, we could have done that also. In chapter 14, verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because I go to my Father. I'm going to make possible a whole new way for you to succeed. And you're going to represent me as my witnesses, and my witnesses have to represent me. And I am going to go for 3 1/3 years and show that I, by my works, by my words, I'm going to show the people that I'm God, and they need to believe. They aren't going to believe. They're going to crucify me. But I'm going to go and have you guys, the believers, are going to what? You're going to represent me. And what I was doing for 3 1/3 years, I'm now going to do it in each little earthly whosoever that gets saved. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to show my marvelous person and my marvelous life in that believer. That's what I'm going to do. That's why we get saved. We become new creatures in Christ. Now, so John chapter 14, back over to chapter 16 for a minute, and you'll notice these things, verse 1, chapter 16, verse 1, these things have I spoken unto you. Why? That you should not be offended. I'm trying to tell you, you're going to have a tough time. I'll read it, verse 2. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God service. They're going to try to kill you. That's what they're going to do. I'm trying to encourage your heart. It's a wonderful thing. They aren't encouraged. They aren't encouraged. No, no, all of them are going to run away. They're going to be Christ's trial, et cetera, et cetera. You're going to run away. God said, I tried to, I'm telling you, all the things that you have to do, I told Israel, and they go against the giants, and you're going to go in the world of darkness and bring light into that darkness. Now, and therefore, in the process, you tell them, it's these things. And when you come to the end of verse 6, chapter 16, verse 33, after these things, here's verse 13, 33, I should say, 3:3. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, be encouraged. I have overcome the world. You're going to go forward. Now that didn't do a thing for them. Why? Because they just don't see it. They can't even handle it. And they figure they may get arrested. They might get crucified. They'd go to jail. What's going to happen? You're gone. Oh, they needed some help. And so God tell them to wait. And they had to wait. God showed himself 40 days and nights that he had risen again from the grave. And then he told them to wait. Just wait a little while in the upper room. Wait there. I don't want you to run around. I don't want you to go anywhere. I just want you to sit. And sit there. That's all I want you to do. And you wait. Because what you think is totally impossible is has to happen. And therefore, 10 days later, etc., on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, what happened? The Spirit of God came. What changed their life? God did. God's outside. They received him as their Savior, and God became inside. That changed their life. What changed their life? Better, who changed their life? God did. God did. God did it. God said, I'm going to do it. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make all of John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 real. Make it all real. Now, having said that little bit, just an exercise maybe, just a little different thing to do, to think about, if I can. And you want to ask yourself, are we convinced? Are we convinced that God has given to your life a wonderful, wonderful person himself and a wonderful plan to outwork his wonderful life? Are you convinced of that? God tells you, Spirit of God's ministry, that's what he's going to do. He wants to know, are you convinced? We're asking ourselves, are we convinced? Now, just to taste it in 1,000 different ways, go over with me, if you can, to the book of Ephesians. And in Ephesians, if I may, picking up the thought in chapter 3, Ephesians. And where are you? Ephesians. And in chapter, Ephesians, chapter, well, we'll go to Ephesians, chapter 1. Now, to the Ephesian church, this is to the believer. Right now, what are you going to tell the believers? They're going to read, they get Paul sent the book of Ephesians, they read it in Ephesus, etc. And what are we told? Verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all, A-L-L, spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. God has done a wonderful thing in our head and heart to save us and provide for us not from the government, not from your anything that we know. What is God going to do? He's going to give the human, the believing heart, access to have freedom to go into and look to take out of heaven God's wonderful resources in Christ, to take all heaven's resources in Christ and bring them to your heart, all of them. So at any day, God is going to take that which you need, not from anything here or anything in our old nature. He's going to take and bring to you all heaven's power, privilege, possessions, everything. All of heaven is behind you. Now, are you convinced? Do it another way. Ephesians chapter 2, as you know, in chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God, what have you done? I have a wonderful plan for your life. Before you were ever created, before anything was created, before angels were created, I had all of humans in mind. I have them all there. And they're going to, because of Adam's sin, they're all going to be born dead. But in order for God's glorious person to show his glory, God himself is going to make the painting come out just right. And therefore, he's going to go and die on the cross for the sin of every one of them that he hasn't even created yet. Hasn't even created them. He's going to die for them. So when we come to know the Lord as our Savior, God has what happens? We've gone from a state of death to a state of life. And when we go to the state of life, what is the life? It's the outworking of our relationship to the living God by the way of the person of Jesus Christ. And we outlive that life in a way. Every place, going back to Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you. For us, your whole life now is related to God's life in Christ, the life of God in Christ Jesus in the human heart. And God's what? He has a wonderful plan to work that life. Well, you do your ordinary life, eating and drinking, school, work, home, whatever you do. In the process, God is going to use let you do all of those things in a good way, in a right way, and he's going to show his wonderful saving grace in your life. He has a wonderful plan for your life. Every place that the sole of your foot, every day, every hour, every minute of your life, he's God, and he has a wonderful plan. Now, hang on to that, if you would. And we don't need to. Well, I'll do one more. Probably shouldn't even do it. Over to Romans. Romans in chapter 8. And in Romans in chapter 8, may I pick up, please? And you would catch it. Romans 8, verse 31. What shall we say then? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And, verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God, whatever you're going to need, heaven's resources, you got them. God gave you his son. Shall he not give you all that you have to have? How can I represent Christ without the resources? God said, you got them. Where did they come? When you received Christ, you received everything that heaven is ever going to give you. When you received him as your Savior, and God has, you already got him. Ah, are you convinced? It's true. So we go forward. Now, having said that, and being confident that each step in God's will can be taken in the light of all the obstacles and all the opponents and all the everything that's against it. Chariots, back to Israel, chariots of iron, walled cities, army after army, 33 kings. After what you're going to do, God says, yeah, you're confident. When you, 38 years ago, you ran away. This time, they're going to run away. You're going to go after them, and they're going to run from you. That's what they're going to do. Nothing. So is there, are you convinced that God can fulfill his will for your life? You say, well, why my miss? I have this. I have my physical bodies. I have my problems. I have this. I have that. And we name them all, right? We name them. Well, yeah. Obstacles, opponents, limitations, littleness. Yeah. Do you understand? Do you understand that the life that God has to be outworked, his life in your life, there are no obstacles. There are no opponents. The devil himself can't touch it. No one can. And we shared before, the greatest enemy you have is yourself. No one can rob you of God's will for your life except you and me. We do it all by ourselves inside here. And either I'm going to trust God and let it happen, or I'm not going to trust God. And like Hossein, I think it was Vince Lombardi. Winners never quit. Winners never quit. And quitters never win. Winners never quit. And quitters never win. They don't win. No, they got wrong attitude. Wrong attitude. You want to win. You want to go forward. You want to do the job. You can't. Ah, but it isn't you. God said, he told you, I'll be with you always. I'll be with you. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in line in God's wonderful thing, and if you can, go over to Philippians 1. If we can, Philippians chapter 1, if I may, and you'll see just a thought. Anyway, Philippians chapter 1, and may I go. Philippians 1, God's being confident in his God's wonderful will, that we can overcome. Now, so what you're going to, now, chapter 1, verse 6, being confident, bold, free, frank, fearless, is the word, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work, where did he begin the work? In you, when you received him as your Savior, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, until he takes you home, or until he comes. That means that you start, and you have to finish, and you have to go down the corridor. You don't need to flunk out. You don't need to fail. You need to go forward. But it can't. It isn't a question of that. You may not have your body to work. Your legs may not work. All kinds of things may not work. But your mind, my dear friend, we're locked on. I told you these things, you know, years ago. I remember the girl, lady, on a bed, paralyzed. I mean paralyzed. But she stayed alive. She stayed alive. And you could go in and see her. And, you know, to try to encourage her up. And, you know, everyone that went in was encouraged. Very opposite. She encouraged everyone that saw her. And she couldn't do a thing. God was there. God was there to make it happen. And that's what you and I can't, but God can. I don't. I can't. But God is God. And it's a wonderful plan. And that plan is being outworked, whether we can move or we can't move. Now, having said that, having being confident that every step we take is going to be approved and honored by God as we go down the corridor of time. And therefore, we are convinced that God keeps his word. God doesn't fail. God isn't going to be miss a point. God is going to keep his word, and you can count on it. And God is going to go, and you can count on his presence. You can never, you know, you never can get out of his presence. You never can be anywhere, heaven or hell, ultimately. You can't be anywhere without his presence. The trouble is you want to have a relationship in the presence of God, with the presence of God, so that you're there. The God who's present, you're in him. God saved you for his glory and honor in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind if I can, and looking at as we can. So being courageous, being confident, being convinced, being courageous to possess God's portion, to be brave, to be go forward, like we shared the other day, the motto from the Olympic, Special Olympics, may I go and win, but may I at least have the confidence I'm going to do the best I can. I can't run, but I'm going to walk. I can't walk, but I'm going to crawl. I'm going to go. I'm doing the best I can. That's it. That's the attitude. That's the attitude. That's what you need. That. So now, so having said that, so being courageous to possess God's portion, God's will. Hebrews chapter 13. And in Hebrews chapter 13, picking up if I may, and you will note, we'll go to verse 20 as we come to the end of the book of Hebrews, all about growing and going and winning the battle. Chapter 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect, complete, full in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And you have to go through that statement, read each sentence again, each little section. God is going to do what he's going to do. And you just have to walk with him, walk by faith, and trust him with all your heart as you go forward of being courageous. So being courageous to possess God's portion, being courageous to what? To go forward, to prosper, to be successful. I want to be successful in that for no other reason. I'm not successful from a human standpoint. But from God's standpoint, I want to be successful. I want God to have his will for his glory and his honor. That's all. That's what we want. So God, it isn't about us, no. So therefore, We are going to be courageous.
To what?
That's what they had to do. They're told every place that the sole of their foot would tread, they're going to be successful. So God, what did he tell us? I have a wonderful plan for your life. I want the plan to be outworked in your life. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I want it to be outworked. Easy, hard, much, little is not the issue, not the issue at all. And I want you to be successful. That's what I want. Because I'm not going to fail, said God. So don't you fail. All you got to do is trust me, said God. And I'm going to do what? I can't fail, said God. Yeah, I can't fail. How am I going to fail? God. And God in us. So you can't fail. You can fall down and break your whatever, but you aren't going to fail. No, you're going to be successful in whatever you do, however you go, in whatever way. Now, so having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, so we're going to go and be courageous. Be courageous. You have to be courageous fast. Courageous fast. Now, so time. Now, so be courageous. Be courageous, prayerfully engaging in God's wonderful protection, God's wonderful purpose, and to outwork his wonderful presence in a most awesome, awesome, wonderful, wonderful way. That's what God wants. So therefore, in looking to God and looking for God to do what he does, as only he does, the way that he does, so therefore, how are we going to do it, God? Well, courage. Where are we going to get courage? Courage to rest on God's word and God's work. Courage. Confidence. God's going to give us confidence, boldness, bold, the word bold. Come boldly to the throne of grace. God gives us confidence, courage and confidence. And you know why we take it? Why we do it? Because the human heart has become the product of conscious weakness. And we didn't realize where we can do so many things. To do the will of God requires God. And the strongest person, mentally, spiritually, physically, can't do what God does. And we realize our weakness. I want you to, what? Do all things. Be more than a conqueror, et cetera, et cetera. I can't. I can't do what you want, God. We've become conscious of our weakness. And when we become conscious of our weakness, we make ourselves available for God's strength. And when we become what? We become dependent because we can't outwork God's will, in God's way, in God's time. We can't do it. We have to be dependent. We're weak and we're dependent. And that's what God's looking for. That's what God wants. What? So that you have to trust him. How do you think Abraham, remember, I don't have to turn anything, time's gone. Here's Abraham. Abraham, for 25 years, he had to wait. He didn't, he was too, I thank you, God's going, I'm going to have Isaac, etc. And God didn't do it. Abraham and Sarah were okay. But God said, no, I'm going to wait till you're 100 years old, 25 years. And the wife's very old like that. And when you can't do anything in any way, shape, or form, and everyone looking at you, no, you can't do anything. That's what I'm going to do. Then I'm going to make your body, and you're going to have an Isaac. And everyone, the only one that's going to get credit is God. Because there is no one else that could get credit. He did it such a way to make it. So you had to have it. So God, here we are looking. And the Apostle Paul, over, do that one over if you can. In 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. And if I may, 2 Corinthians, oh, and go over with me, chapter 12. And you'll remember, chapter 12, picking up, if I may. And going to Paul. Paul was given a problem. Paul, remember Paul said, he went to the third heaven, chapter 12, and God said, you aren't going to be able to handle coming back to earth after being, for that moment, you saw what's ahead. So God said, I got to help you. And he gave him a problem with his eyes, so he couldn't see good. Wow, yeah. And Paul tried to get rid of it, but it didn't go away. It stayed. Now, why? Chapter 12 and verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. It's enough. For my strength is made perfect, complete, full in what, dear friends? Weakness. Weakness. God has to get the glory. So when we try to do things and I'm going to do this for God, not too likely. I'm going to be this. You can do it. No. It's when you can't do anything, as it were, and you have nothing to do. Then God said, I found a man. I found a woman. I found a boy. I found a girl that I can use, because they aren't going to try to outdo me and play God. They aren't going to play God with me. They're going to let me be God in this, in my fullness. That's what God is going to do in his most wonderful way. And time has passed. Are we getting there? A little bit. You need to be convinced. That's why we look at Joshua and say, boy, do they have everything. You did. We have more than they do. We got way more than they do. We need to understand that. And we have what? We don't have to have, we don't have to have a special time. You can't, Christ has taken over our little whole, our heart and head and everything. And we shared it, I'll close with that, my little mind. God, what are you going to do? You're going to go what? You're bought with a price. I took you, lock, stock, and barrel. I took you as you were and I'm transforming your life. I'm going to get rid of your body and your old nature, ultimately, and I'm going to make you like my son to enjoy the magnificence of who I am. And that's why our Lord will say in the end of John chapter 17, I can't wait for you to see my glory. I'm giving you my glory. Exercise it. I can't wait for you to see it. He's waiting. In my Father's house are what? Many abiding places. I'm waiting for you. In the meantime, we're waiting. Waiting for you. Well, God, I can't get there. God said, I'm coming for you at any moment. So just stay ready. Stay ready. Stay steady. Don't go to the left or right. Stay on course. I'm coming. Present tense. I'm coming. That's how he ends the Bible, doesn't he? I'm coming. That's how I end. Close the Bible. All right. He said, I'm coming. Here we are. I got to quit. Hope you got a little bit. Our Father in God, we thank you for your word, your grace, as we just stumble along. So deal with us and help us in every way. God, we have such an awesome journey. We'd be able to go to bed and get out of bed, young or old, easy or hard, much or little, and we may not even be able to get out of bed. But God, at bed or no bed, we're going to trust you. So we're looking to you to help us in every way. We're going to thank you very, very, very much, even now. In Christ's name, amen.